Let us hear God's word as it is written in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 9, reading the verses 9 through to 13. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I draw your attention especially to the verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. A man named Matthew. This gospel is the gospel according to Matthew, and here the writer writes about himself. He tells us of his encounter with the Lord Jesus. More correctly, he tells us of the Lord's encounter with him. A man named Matthew. He doesn't say me. He doesn't say, Jesus passed by and saw me. Matthew never says I, and he never says me. We only know that he is the author of this gospel because of church history, because all the manuscripts have the title, The Gospel According to Matthew, and we've no reason to doubt that tradition. He doesn't use his name, he doesn't say I, he doesn't say me. Matthew wants us to know that the gospel is not about him. It is not about the sinner. The gospel is about Christ. Christ is the gospel. He is the good news. And being about him, it is good news for the sinner. But it is good news about the Saviour. And so Matthew conceals himself. Matthew puts himself into the background. Matthew wants to decrease, but he causes Christ to increase in his gospel. Matthew is humble. Matthew feels himself the chief of sinners. He could say something like Paul said, Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should write the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. He is given grace. He receives the gift of God in grace, and he magnifies Christ, and he conceals himself. His name is of Hebrew origin, and it means the gift of the Lord. Matthew is not that gift, but he receives that gift. For the gift of the Lord is the one who stands before him and who calls him. The unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ, is God's gift, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And now the Son of God stands before the sinner. And Matthew receives the gift of the Lord, and he becomes a follower of that gift. And he writes about that gift. He magnifies Christ, the gift of God's love. This was not Matthew's only name. Mark and Luke call him Levi. But Matthew never calls himself Levi. Levi is gone. Levi is the old man. His name is Matthew. For the Lord met him. The Lord offered himself to him, and Matthew received the gift of grace, and he became Matthew. He's Matthew. In the list of the 12 that Matthew gives, in chapter 10, he calls himself Matthew the publican. When he wrote that, he was no longer the publican. He had repented and received Christ. But when he writes down, years later, years after he met the Saviour, when he writes down Matthew the publican, he is magnifying God's gift of grace. He never forgot what he was. He remembers he is still the sinner. Paul wrote, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And when Matthew writes, Matthew the publican, he has the same spirit as Paul. Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and call and save publicans and sinners. And Matthew says, "I am the publican." The publican with the definite article, as if there is not another publican, as if he is the only publican. He is Matthew, the chief of sinners. This is how he came to feel about himself. Notice how Matthew frames his story in the passage. The Lord Jesus, after calling Matthew, is in his house, and the house is filled with publicans and sinners, because Matthew has got all his friends in for this final feast. And we read that, "As Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." And this caused quite a stir among the Pharisees. "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And the Lord Jesus had a good answer. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Lord Jesus views all these publicans and sinners as sick. Sick with sin. He views them as leprous with depravity. But he has mercy. And he says to the Pharisees, "Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And Matthew tells this. He tells of his call in the midst of this story. Because among all these publicans and sinners, he is the publican. He is Matthew the publican, the chief of sinners. He was the sick one, sick in soul. He is the one who needed mercy and grace. He is the one needing called to repentance. He is the one who needs the great physician. This is how Matthew came to feel about himself. And he puts his encounter with Christ in the midst of all of this. The sick one, the unrighteous one, the sinner, the publican, the one called to repentance, the one who obtained mercy, the one who found the gift of grace. The Lord told a parable once. We call it the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. A parable is not an allegory. It's not a fantasy. It is a real life story without names. A parable is likely true, or it could happen if it had not literally happened. It's a real life kind of illustration. Two men went up to pray. We don't know their names. but we know what they were. Jesus said, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Was Matthew in the Lord's mind when he told it? We don't know. But I am nearly sure when Matthew heard the story, he said in his heart, that's me. That's me. We know that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's Matthew, the sinner. The publican who learned to beat upon his breast. The humble man who stays in the background and wishes only the magnification of his Lord. Do we know ourselves to be sinners? Do we smite on our own breasts for our own sins? Or do we smite others for their sins? Have we the spirit of the publican awakened, or the spirit of the self-righteous Pharisee? How do we approach God? How do we value mercy? How do we speak of ourselves? What do we know of God's gift of grace? Do you value the Lord Jesus as the greatest gift you could ever possess? When we first meet Matthew, he is sitting. That is his posture. The place that he was sitting at was the receipt of custom. As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. Mark and Luke also highlight this. They tell us the very same, sitting in his place. Let us view him sitting. There he is. No intention of moving. There he lives. There he works. There he will die. From there he will go to hell and perish unless God's grace apprehends him. He is not seeking. He is sitting. He is not fleeing, but abiding and continuing in sin. He is not moving, but immobile, sitting in sin, abiding in transgression, continuing ungodly and careless. Matthew is sitting, not moving, nor will he move until the Lord Jesus comes and calls him. And sinners are sitting in sin, careless, unmovable, at ease in their lost estate, unconcerned, unmoved, sitting. What will it take to move you, fellow sinner? What will get you up and away from your sin? When will you arise and leave your wicked ways? When will you come forth and seek Christ? When will you start the journey of asking and seeking and knocking until you find the Lord? Alas, Matthew is sitting. He is not sitting alone. Multitudes and multitudes are like him, sitting when they should be flying to Christ, sitting when they should be running the race to heaven with patience, sitting when they should be seeking. O sinner, don't linger at the seat of sin. Arise. Arise and flee for thy life. Arise and flee from the wrath to come. Arise and leave thy sin and follow Christ. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? And where does Matthew sit? And what does Matthew do? He sits at his business desk. All three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark and Luke, use the same Greek word. He is in his counting house, his toll booth. He is a tax collector, you see, working with figures, adding up the numbers, figuring out the percentages, obtaining the weights, and finding out the payments that have to be made accordingly, sitting, numbering for Rome, because a publican is a tax collector for the Romans, numbering also for his own profit, for he had to make a living and included his fees. But numbering, like all sinners, just for time, just for the temporary, not numbering for eternity, not numbering his days. As the psalmist prayed, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. But Matthew is not numbering his days. The Reverend Thomas Chalmers was an unconverted minister one time. He used to study science and chemistry and was particularly fond of mathematics. And he spent much of his time teaching these things in the academy near his parish. And he taught these things with greater devotion than he preached the Bible. But the Lord opened his blind eyes. And he said years later with regret, strangely blinded I was. Sir, he said to the man, what is the object of mathematical science? Magnitude and the proportions of magnitude. But then, sir, I had forgotten two magnitudes. I thought not of the littleness of time. I recklessly thought not of the greatness of eternity. And Matthew is like that, sitting with all his numbering, and he has not numbered the brevity of life and the vastness of eternity. He has not considered his innumerable sins. He has forgotten. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew's job is an abomination to the Jews. It is repugnant to them. It is an office stained in their sight. Such a man was reckoned a traitor in collecting for Rome, bringing the nation's profit to a foreign power. Nearly all publicans had thick skin, had the hide that could bear such hatred. They seemed not to care for the hatred of their fellow countrymen, and so they faced it, and not only faced it, they rose above it, and very often they were given over to extortion. They had abandoned themselves to this job. They had left themselves friendless, And very often they drew more money than they ought to have done. Not all publicans were corrupt to that extent. And we don't know about Matthew, but Matthew certainly must have been like a leper in the community. His only friends were like-minded men. And whenever he invited the Lord Jesus into the house before he left to follow him, all that came were publicans and sinners. That was the community in which he moved, like himself. And there he sits, stained, repulsive, abhorrent. But the Lord Jesus comes forth. Bless God for this. This is the only hope for such sitting sinners. A coming Saviour. Jesus passed forth from thence, and he saw a man named Matthew. Jesus passed forth, for he came into the world to seek and to save sinners, and in his travels this day, he passes by Matthew. But he doesn't pass on. The journey of the Lord is no accident, planned in the divine purpose and according to the election of grace. He passes forth this day and sees a man named Matthew. The stained sinner, the repugnant transgressor, he sees him. Now all three writers emphasize this. Mark says the same. As he passed by, he saw Levi. Luke, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi. The Lord Jesus saw Matthew sitting. We don't read that Matthew saw him. It was the glance of Jesus that was the first thing. He saw us before we saw him. He didn't only see Matthew that day. He saw him in eternity past. He saw him before he left heaven's throne to come into the world. He saw him when he took to himself a human nature and was made flesh. He saw him long before he called him. And now he passes forth at this time. And he sees him with his human eyes. A man named Matthew. Now Matthew probably did see the Lord. Maybe before even the Lord called him. But if he did see the Lord, he didn't perceive the Saviour's heart before he heard his word. The change came through a seeing Saviour. And whenever it says that the Saviour saw him, he did see him. He saw who he was, he saw what he was, he saw right into his heart. He saw a poor sinner. No, I pitied Matthew. The people had no compassion for Matthew. He was as a loathsome person to them. But Jesus passed by and saw him. He saw all the loathsomeness of sin. He saw him. The God of Ezekiel comes forth and passes by and says, "When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." And this day Jesus passes by and he sees a man polluted with sin. He sees one who is as a leper in the community. He passes by, but he doesn't pass on. He stands still and he says, "Matthew, live." The Lord Jesus sees not only a man, but he sees all that that man is. He sees all that we are. He sees to the very depths of our heart. He sees all the ugly sins, all the depraved deformities, all the vile iniquities, all the transgressions against the law of his Holy Father. He sees all, but the Lord Jesus does not retreat, does not recoil, does not pass on quickly on the other side, but stands still and calls. This is a call of grace. This is an election of grace that passes by proud Pharisees and religious leaders and chooses a cast out of the people. Sinner, you need never despair when you discover yourself a sinner. When you see yourself aright, you will still not see yourself as Jesus sees you. Whenever we see ourselves as worms, we see not ourselves clearly even yet. For we are not only worms. We are worms of worms. When we see ourselves as sinners, we still don't half see, for we are chief sinners. But Jesus sees all, through and through, and still he comes. Still he passes forth. Still he dies, for he dies for sinners, for the ungodly. Still he stretches out his arms to you all the day long, and still he calls you in the gospel, even though he sees you for what you are and for what you have done. He sees you, but he still calls you, for he is gracious. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle says, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, you poor sinner, that you may become rich through his poverty. That's Christ. The rich grace, the unsearchable riches of his grace, the fullness of his grace. The call that Matthew receives is simple but powerful. Follow me. That's all he heard. Follow me. I hear Matthew saying within himself, can I follow thee, Lord Jesus? Would you want such a sinner as me? Unloved, undesired, unthought of, and despised as I am of all. Disgusting to men, yea, disgusting to myself. And would you take me in, Lord Jesus? Depth of mercy, can there be? Mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spur? Yes, he will take you in, Matthew. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners, vile sinners, depraved sinners, to repentance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, even the chief of sinners. For he is a savior for lepers. and he died for the ungodly. He calls you, Matthew, heavy laden and burdened soul. He calls you, for he says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. O sinner, if you but come, but follow the Lord Jesus, if you but leave your sins and fly to him, to hang your helpless soul upon him, he will receive thee. Surely he calleth for thee. Yes, it's true. The Master is come and calleth for thee. He stands waiting, Matthew. What is your response? How long will you sit, Matthew? Dare you sit on? It is time to arise and to come. Linger no more. The Saviour's word is mighty, isn't it? Follow me. Take up thy cross, the Saviour said. If thou wouldst my disciple be, deny thyself, the world forsake, and humbly follow after me. And that's what Matthew did. He followed Christ. The text says he arose and followed him. Humbly followed him. What a mighty word that was that dropped into his ear that day. What a powerful call. It drops down into Matthew's heart. It goes into the deep soil of his soul. And the enmity against God is gone. The averseness to approach the Lord has disappeared. The magnetism of the toll booth has ceased. A stirring takes place in his heart. He's set free. He arises. He comes forth. Luke says, he left all. Everything. Nothing now is so precious as Christ. He left all. He says goodbye to the world. He says goodbye to the world's gains. He says goodbye to the temporal. And he takes hold of the eternal. And he welcomes Jesus Christ. He's like Paul. What things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things. Here's the counter. Here's the accountant. Here's the one who had worked in numbers, but now he has his eyes opened and he can say, I count all things but loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He left all. He left the pearls that he had been counting and dealing with, for he has found one pearl of great price. And he's left all. And he has taken it. He follows Christ. And for Matthew there is no turning back. He follows the Lord to the cross. He follows the Lord to the tomb. He follows the Lord to the place of ascension. He follows the Lord to Pentecost and to the mission among the Jews and to the writing of this Holy Gospel. And he follows him to a foreign land, where in the end he laid down his life for his Lord. And now Matthew lives and reigns with him in heaven, eternally blessed. This is where the journey to heavenly glory commences, in hearing the call of the Saviour. arise from your sins and follow the Lord. Today the Saviour says to you, as he said to Matthew, follow me. Arise and follow him today.